Support for KBIA's podcast of Off the Clock comes from PS Gallery. PS Gallery features three-month exhibits of local, regional, and national artists in all media, including jewelry. PS Gallery is located at 1025 East Walnut in the North Village Arts District. More information can be found at perlostevensgallery.com or at 573-442-4831.
I'm Scarlett Robertson, and you're listening to Off the Clock, KBIA's guide to arts and culture across the state. This week's show is the Mother's Day special, and we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. First up, we'll hear about a book of portraits on the life of the American mother, and later, we have an audio essay on the complicated mother-daughter relationship. Still thinking of what to do this Sunday for Mother's Day? How about interviewing your mom? That's a suggestion from StoryCorps founder Dave Isay. Since 2003, the organization has collected over 40,000 interviews, some of which have aired on NPR. Some have also been compiled into the book Mom, a celebration of mothers from StoryCorps. It consists of interviews with and about, you guessed it, moms. KBIA's Raymond Tunkagar spoke with Dave Isay. They started out by talking about what the book teaches us about mothers.
You know, I think that the lessons you get from Mom are very similar to the lessons you get from the StoryCorps broadcast or the other StoryCorps books. And certainly in this case that, you know, what I think you have is kind of the collected wisdom of great moms. And I'm a dad with two young kids. So, you know, reading this stuff is very powerful and important to me. And I think it all boils down to what you think it would. I mean, being a great mom or a great parent is all about, you know, acceptance, love, and honesty. But I want to say that, you know, we've done 40,000 interviews for StoryCorps now with about 80,000 people. And we look at every interview as being equally important, equally valuable, potentially a sacred moment in people's lives. So no interview is any more important than any other interview. It's just that some have this kind of universal quality that make it that demands to be heard by a wider audience.
And that's what kind of struck me about the book as well, because you have people from various backgrounds, and these discussions, they just have this universal quality about them. I mean, regardless of where you come from or who they are, you can always relate to them.
Well, that's kind of the StoryCorps thing. I mean, I think one of the things that these facilitators who serve this, for the most part, a one-year tour of duty, kind of traveling the country, capturing the wisdom of humanity, you know, the great lesson that they always come back with is that, you know, there's way, way more we share in common as a country, no matter what your political background is, your political beliefs, where you live, that there's much more that kind of binds us than divides us when you get down to what's really important in people's lives. The facilitators also say that when they do these interviews, I ask them, like, what's it like when you have these very intense interviews specifically about parents, about moms, about dads? And they say that that at the end of the day, you know, all they want to do is get on the phone and give their mom or dad a call and just say, I'm thinking of you and I love you. And that's kind of, I think, the feeling that I hope folks get when they read this book.
Did making this book change your own relationship with your mother or the way you viewed her?
Well, not making the book. I mean, I think that I did my own StoryCorps interview with my mom at some point early on after StoryCorps started. And that was a pretty amazing experience for me because I'm close to my mom. I talk to her all the time. She's actually the only person that I'll talk to on the telephone. I don't know why. I can't explain it. But I know her very well. And when I did the StoryCorps interview with her, the 40 minutes I spent in the booth, when I got out of the booth, the only thing that I knew coming out of the booth that I had known going into the booth was the date and her name. You know, everything else was new. And as you know, that's part of the power of a microphone and the power of StoryCorps. That microphone gives you the opportunity to have these conversations you don't normally get to have. My mom is a great was a publisher for 40 years and had a hand in a lot of really amazing books. And all of the StoryCorps books, except actually the last one because her husband died and she wasn't up for it. But she's been the key kind of editorial person with me and the team that writes the books at StoryCorps. So we work on the books together. We always have a session over at my mom's house with her where we take all the stories and we lay them out together and we figure out what order they might be. So she had a strong hand in this book and in, you know, all the books and, of course, you know, in everything that I do.
Would you mind just telling me, if you had the chance to go back into the StoryCorps booth today with your mother, what would you say?
I don't think I would say anything any differently than I did in the original interview. You know, one of the great uses of a StoryCorps booth is giving you the chance to just say verbally how you feel about someone who means a lot to you. So I would, of course, tell my mom, and I hope I did it in the interview, I would tell her how much I love her and how grateful I am for everything she's done for me.
That was KPIA's Raymond Tunkagar talking with StoryCorps founder Dave Isay about his book called Mom. What happens when you discover you're turning into your mother? For some people, it's their worst nightmare. Gabrielle Lipton has an audio essay on what the transformation means for her.
I'm at the age where I'm quickly starting to turn into my mother. I realized this a couple of weeks ago when I was unloading my groceries. I bought a bottle of fish oil from the health food section after hearing some friends and articles attest to their accolades. Good for the hair, nails, skin, joints, muscles, preventing cancer. They had me at the hair. But it wasn't until I was watching my hand place the bottle on the pantry shelf that it started to look familiar, and I realized, this is the same vitamin my mom gave me every morning with breakfast, and I threw it in the garbage when she wasn't looking. I hated the way it made my breath fishy. And, of course, I was a teenager who loved the thrill of rebellion. Suddenly, the pill bottle no longer meant good joint health. It meant I had fallen into the inescapable trap of becoming my mother. There are some things that everyone finally realizes their parents were right about. With due time, most people learn to eat their vegetables and find out that putting on your sunscreen can actually save you from horrendous amounts of pain. These are facts of life that your parents know because they've lived life. But the little things that make your parents, these are the things that get embedded in your subconscious, and then, just when you thought you'd become your own person, surprise, they pop out of nowhere. And the ironic part is that while I'm rapidly adopting the practices of a 55-year-old woman, she's trying to become more like me. Gab, I've started taking Zumba classes. Facebook me some good new music. Is this color too young for me? And it just spirals into this whole paradox where the more she's re-embracing her younger self, the more I act and feel old. I think the scariest moment was when I came home for spring break and we are wearing the same shoes. We've met in the middle. I'm halfway to becoming her, and I'm only 21. But I'm lucky. I like my mom, and she's doing great for her age, so even though it's apparently out of my control, at least I like the path I'm on. What can I say? I am my mother's daughter.
That's it for Off the Clock this week. Thanks for listening, and happy Mother's Day.